It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmel.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Good morning, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. It was a beautiful weekend here in New York City, New Jersey, in the tri-state area. Sunny in the 80s. You can't get much better than that. I know the Giant fans have got to be happy about the news that broke last Friday. I'm not sure who had the story first, but I guess that's really not important. Victor Cruz signing his tender deal with the Giants. I guess that's 1 year around $2.9 million, which obviously I think puts a lot of Giant fans at ease. Victor Cruz will be here for next year. And I hate to say I told you so, but these things have a way of working themselves out. And Victor Cruz saw the possibility, or at least the threat, of the Giants reducing that tender offer. So they, in turn, decided to sign the one-year tender. Now, both sides are apparently still trying to work out a one-year contract, a long-term contract, excuse me, to have Victor Cruz here for a long time. Victor wants to be here. The Giants want to be here. I think there's still a decent shot that gets worked out by training camp, or at least by the regular season. But if reports are to be believed, the two sides are a little bit far apart. The Giants have improved their offer. They're going closer to $9 million a year than $8 million a year if the reports are true. Victor's still looking for double digits. The Giants, quite frankly, have little reason, especially now, to go that high. They can keep Victor Cruz under contract with the tender this year, see how Ruben Randall plays this year, see how Hakeem Nicks plays this year, and see how Victor Cruz plays this year. And then Jerry Reese, Tom Coughlin, the ownership, can make a very educated decision on what the Giants should do with those three wide receivers in 2014. Nicks and Cruz will both be free agents after this year. Randall will be heading into year number three. You decide what your best mix is. Can you afford having both Nicks and Cruz long term? If you can, great, you sign both. If you can't, well, then you take a look and decide which guy, based on his production the last 3 years, is a better fit for your team. And if you have one more year to examine that, to see if Nicks can stay healthy, to see if Cruz continues his ascension, to see if Randall is ready to take that next step. Remember, he plays the same basic position as Hakeem Nicks. You take all that into consideration, and you figure out and you decide which guy is best for the Giants, and that's the direction you're going. So, quite frankly, I know the Giants love to have Victor Cruz long-term under their own conditions and terms, but if they have him under a one-year tender for 1 year, that's great too. Now, will it be tough to work out both their contracts next year at the same time? Yeah, it's going to be a pain. But to me, the more information you have and the more years you have to look at before you have to make that decision, the better off you're going to be. So the Giants are pretty much whole now going into training camp. And if you listen to Kevin Gilbride last week, if you listen to Kevin Gilbride Jr. the week before, if you listen to some of the other players in the locker room, Ruben Randall seems ready for a big-time breakout year. And I think he could have a better year than anything Mario Manningham ever had with the Giants, quite honestly. I think he has more natural talent. I think he's smarter. I think he's bigger. And he seems to finally be figuring out what it takes to be a pro. The work ethic. The importance of being the first one in the drills. The importance of the classroom. The importance of taking a cerebral approach to the game. And Kevin Gilbride could not have had more nice things and good things to say about Ruben Randall, about how good he's been. So I think he's primed for a monster year. And perhaps, again, if you can't work out a way where you can sign both Nicks and Cruz next year, perhaps a long-term replacement for Hakeem Nicks. So you have one more year to figure this out, and then you move forward. And our question of the day, therefore, is this the best trio, or I even use trio, is this the best set of receivers that Eli Manning has ever had to throw to? And I'm going to say yes, and here's why. Now, somebody already tweeted me once, well, it's hard to say this group's better than the Knicks, Cruz, Manningham group. Well, here's the thing. Going into that first year with Knicks, Cruz, and Manningham, did you know Victor Cruz is going to be what he was going to be? You didn't. He was still figuring things out. Also, Dominic Hickson that year, out with an ACL. This year, you have Randall, who again, I think is probably going to be better than Mario Manningham was for the Giants. Not a sure thing, that's just a gut feeling on my part. You have Knicks, who is what he is. Cruz is probably a little bit better now than he was as a rookie. And then you have Lewis Murphy, who's an established wide receiver in this league and has more speed than, you know, a Giant wide receiver has had in a long time. You still have Jernigan and Barton in the mix. Brandon Collins showed a lot during OTAs and minicamp. So I actually, in terms of future and present, putting the contract issues aside for a second, think this is the most talented group the Giants have had. I really do. I think it's fantastic. I think Eli Manning could have a monster year this year. Of course, that's assuming all these guys stay healthy, which you never know, especially with Knicks. Cruz, too. But I love this group. I think they're going to be fantastic. I think this Giant offense could step back into that top five role that they've been in years past. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Let's start on our phones and say what's up to Shakes down in Baltimore, Maryland. Shakes, what's going on, Pally?
What's going on, man? Happy to be the first caller. That's what's up.
What's going on, dude? How was your weekend?
It was all right. I was chilling. You know, just getting my mind free of Giant football for a little bit. But now it's back on track. And now, like, the question that you just proposed to me with this the set of receivers.
Yep.
I got a problem with you on that one. I mean, well, it's like this. I say it like this. This year's set of receivers, yes, they are deep and very talented, but we ain't played yet. So I can't call them the best yet. In my eyes, I can't call them the best yet. To me, the best set of receivers that Eli had was the year after the 2007 Super Bowl. When we had Plex, we had Amani just left. We just cut Amani at the Super Bowl,
correct.
I think.
I believe you're right about that, yes.
Yeah, and so we had Plex, we had Steve Smith, we had, and that was a young Steve Smith because that was after his seat. And then we had a young Dominique Hickson who stepped in for Plex when Plex shot himself. And,
Well, here we go. Shakes, I have the numbers in front of me. That year in 2008, and that was Toomer's last year with the Giants. But just to go through their numbers that year in terms of their statistics, that was actually a down year for the Giants' wide receiver core. They ran the ball so well that year with Jacobs, Ward, and Bradshaw. If you look at their receiver stats, just to go through, Hakeem Nicks, Steve Smith, had 57 catches for 574 yards. Hickson, 43 catches for 596. And Burris, who was injured a lot this year, had 35 catches for 454. So the numbers do not really jump out at you. I get where you're coming from. And obviously, yeah. Burris only played 10 games that year because he shot himself in the leg. But though the numbers that year from the wide receivers pale in comparison to the numbers that Cruz, Knicks, and Manningham put up in their best year together in 2010.
Yeah, I know that. Like, if you go from on stats, yeah. But, see, like you said, that year we was a running team.
Correct.
We had the Earth, Wind, and Fire thing going on.
Yep.
So we didn't really need to throw the ball. We was a run-first team. Back then, that was what you do. And we was, what, 11-1? We won 11-1, right?
I believe the team was 11-1 to start the year because they won that first game after Burris did shoot himself the game against Washington. Yep. That put them at 11-1, I think. And then they lost, I believe, three out of their last four that year, if memory serves me right.
Yep. And that's what I'm saying. I think they were more talented because of that, because Plex was just unstoppable. So if you just throw the ball up to him, he was going to catch it. And Eli loved him for that, and he relied on that for many of his early years. And so I think that set is better, but this set coming up, I really do like him. I really do like.
Well, you know what, Shakes? You also, by the way, had 2010, which people forget. That year you had Nix as a rookie. Manningham, I believe, is a third-year guy. He caught 60 balls for 940 yards that year. And then you had Steve Smith, too. That was Steve Smith's last year with the Giants. That's when he hurt himself in week 9. And he had 48 catches for 520 yards at about mid-season. So that was another nice group of wide receivers.
Yeah, that was talented. We had a few little set of receivers there, but nobody the dynamic like really like Plex, and you know Plex was our first really dynamic receiver, and now it's Nix, and then Victor Cruz just came out and just shocked the world. But I wanted to speak on something.
Sure.
Because you know this is the thing I'm worried about is the pass protecting running back. So now that Bradshaw's gone, of course, we are not looking at Jacobs or McGahee or Turner. And the reason why I say Jacobs, and I know you disagree with me, but the reason why I say Jacobs is because I seen a couple people follow him on Twitter, and
right.
they actually posted it up on some sites. But that he said he wanted to come back. Somebody actually asked him a question like, "Well, are you prepared to take the veteran minimum?" He said, "Yeah, I'm here for cheap." So I mean, it's like he wants to come back. So if he wants to come back so bad, we need a pass protecting running back. He knows our system. Why not? It's perfect. It makes perfect sense to me.
Well, you know what? I talked to Kevin Gilbride last week a little bit, and this interview got posted on Giants.com right before training camp towards the end of July, and I talked to him about some of the guys on pass protection, and he seems to think that Andre Brown is ready and capable of doing it. So I think that's an option right there. Number two, he talked about David Wilson and how mentally he's there now. He's figured out where he needs to be, who he needs to block. So he's made progress in the classroom in that regard. The trick with David Wilson now, he at his size, he needs to be able to show that he's willing to go out there in these games against live opponents. And we're not going to know this until preseason games now. We're not going to know until then when we see it against live competition. Is he going to be willing to step in there against a 275-pound defensive end that beats Will Beatty or David Deal off the end, put himself between that guy and the quarterback, and lay the wood on him? It takes a certain courage and physical toughness to do that. Ahmad Bradshaw was great at it, considering his size.
Yeah.
But David Wilson has to be willing and able to physically do the job now, and we're not going to know that until the preseason. But honestly, I thought Gilbride would be a little bit more pessimistic about where they were in terms of pass protection from the backs, but I sensed from him that he's pretty happy with where the guys are at that they have. Now, we'll see what happens again when the bullets are flying and we're in live competition. But he seems to think the guys know what they're doing.
Okay, good. That's encouraging. That's very encouraging because that's what I'm worried about, because we can't just have Eli on the island. Especially the first game of the season we're going against. Where? Come on, man. And, all right, another thing. I'm sorry, taking up all the time.
No, no worries. Go ahead.
Big Hank. I see it on the website. Big Hank looking impressive or something. They're saying he's doing everything all around. So can you speak on that for me?
Look, I mean, Hankins is looking good in practice, but I can't really, go too nuts about it, only because these guys really, there's no pads yet. And how am I going to see how a big 330 130-pound run-stopping nose tackle is doing when you can't wear pads and you can't hit yet. So it's honestly you can tell secondary, you can tell receivers, you could even tell athleticism from running backs, tight ends, things like that. It's really hard to tell with the guys in the trenches how they're doing and how far along they are when you can't hit anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, but it's encouraging that he's looking impressive, so I like that. And he's got a lot of special teams guys, so there's one guy in particular that he led the nation in college, Alonzo Tweedy. Is he doing okay in OTAs and all that?
Tweedy's learning in the secondary. I mean, as all these rookie guys are, they get this playbook thrown at him. He's trying to figure things out. But if he wants a chance to make this roster, which quite frankly is going to be very tough considering the amount of safeties they have on this team, he's going to have to do something spectacular in training camp. He is a long, long battle to fight.
Long time. Okay. All right, thanks for taking my call, man.
Thanks, Shakes.
I'll talk to you tomorrow, man.
Anytime, bye-bye. Man. Be good. 201-939-4513. Stay on the phones. Angela's down in Virginia. Angela, what's up?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Angela. How about yourself?
I'm fine. I was just wondering, I'm trying to remember where I saw it, but apparently Pugh's contract hasn't been signed, or what's going on with that?
Yeah, Justin Pugh and Ryan Nassib are the only two draft picks that haven't been signed yet. Quite frankly, I'm not quite sure why. There must be some details in the language in terms of service time or something like that in there that's holding it up. I've been looking for details on it, but look, it hasn't been done yet. These guys are slotted in, though, the way the new draft system works with the new CBA. These guys, based on where they're picked, are slotted in at a certain number, Angela, so don't worry. They will be under contract shortly. There will be a training camp. You don't have anything to worry about.
Okay, because I'm not trying to, get any panic attacks or anything when I'm sitting here getting excited about Pugh and then come to find out he won't be playing.
I hear you, Angela.
Well, thank you very much, and you have a good day.
Hey, you too. Thanks for giving us a call. We appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. We got a lot of nice responses coming in on hashtag Giants Chat. Let's see what we got here. Josh Feedy agrees, thinks we got a breakout year for Ruben Randall. Eddie Boone, is it worth paying Cruz $10-plus million per season when they have a tight cap and Randall? Should they trade him? No, you can't trade Victor Cruz. He's too valuable this year. You're trying to win a title. You play Victor Cruz and you hope you get the most out of him you can. Is Victor Cruz worth $10 million plus a year? Look at his numbers. And compare him to the other wide receivers that are making $10 million a year. Is he as good as Greg Jennings? I think he is. Is he as good as Dwayne Bowe? I think so. Is he better than Marcus Colston? I think he is. So, yeah, I think if he's an unrestricted free agent, Victor Cruz is getting $10 million a year. It's that simple. And that's the best I can answer your question. Now, the Giants, based on their cap situation, are they going to be able to bring both guys in? I'm not sure. Tommy Brennan, Tumor Plaques and Steve Smith, pretty close. I agree. That's a nice group. I'm going to put this group ahead of that group, but here's why, Tommy. I think you have three guys in Randall, Cruz, and Knicks that can all make big plays down the field, while Tumor and Steve Smith at that point in their careers are both pretty much possession receivers. So I'm going to give the edge to this group just because of big play ability. My man Marwan Ali, who does a good job managing this Giants cap, he's always giving me good information on this sort of stuff. The Giants apparently have $104 million in cap dollars committed in 2014. Now, I'm assuming the cap's probably going to be in the 120s again. I'm not sure. That might change based on TV money. That thing might go up. It's going to go up at some point during the CBA. I'm not sure if it's next year that it's going to jump or not. But the Giants right now have about $104 million committed. But again, they need to get Eli Manning's contract figured out. They need to get Victor Cruz's contract figured out. They need to get Hakeem Nicks's contract figured out. And they eventually are going to have to get Jason Pierre-Paul's contract figured out as well. Mike Farmer, Bradshaw was the pass protector. Jacobs was rarely in that role from what I remember. He didn't do it so well. Jacobs was fine. Bradshaw was primarily the pass protector, Mike. Jacobs was back there sometimes. When he did it, he could do it fine. He was okay at it. He was certainly big enough and willing to pass protect. But Bradshaw was the primary pass protector for the Giants. That is correct. All right, let's see what else we got here on Twitter. We can find anything else. But that's interesting. And the 2010 set of wide receivers with Nix as a rookie, Manningham in his prime, had 900 yards that year, 60 catches, and Steve Smith before he hurt his knee. Was that group better than Nix, Cruz, and Randall? And I don't think it was, and here's why. Nix is better now than he was then, from a rookie to when he is now, assuming he's healthy. Cruz, to me, is a better wide receiver than Steve Smith. You know, Steve Smith, the possession guy. Cruz could do all the same things Steve Smith did in the slot in terms of catching passes. Probably didn't have as good hands. Cruz drops more passes than Steve Smith does. But Cruz with much more downfield, big playability. So, I think that's important to note moving forward. And then, of course, the Randall-Manningham comparison. I think Randall will have a similar year to Manningham. But Shakes made a good point. This group hasn't done it yet. Nix and Cruz have. Randall hasn't. But I would still take, if I looked at that talent of those groups before the season started, I would take this group this year. I think that's the way to go. Let's see. Jay at JCS02008. I think it will turn out to be the best wide receiver core ever. Plax, Toomer, Smith were awesome, but not nearly as explosive, and I agree with that. I think Nixon Cruz's ability to make the big play is a big part of it. And it's funny, one thing I did ask Kevin Gilbright about last week in that interview was whether or not, or what the Giants need to do to get their offense back to a top five offense. And they were, he yelled at me. I was wrong. I said, you guys were in the middle of the pack last year in terms of yards and scoring. And he quickly jumped on me. John, number six in scoring. So I told him, Coach, my bad. That was my fault. I didn't check that stat before the interview, and I thought I remembered it being around 10, but it was six. So I offended Kevin, and I was very apologetic about that. I got to get those numbers right. It's my fault. And he said the one thing that they need to do to get their big play offense back, I mean, to get their scoring offense back into the top five and their yards into the top five is make more big plays. And they were missing big plays last year. And having Nix and Cruz healthy with Brandon Myers in the middle, Reuben Randall up and coming, I think this offense will be a huge big play offense again, and that's going to be a big difference. Another tweet coming in, if Cruz knows he is hurting the team by asking for so much, why is he doing it? He is supposed to be dedicated to the team. Well, that coming in from at Toby Gleish. Well, Toby, I get it. He's supposed to worry about the team. However, Victor Cruz hasn't exactly broken the bank in his first couple years in the NFL. He has his tender offer for just under $3 million this year. Overall, he's probably still probably made about $4 million then in the first 3 years of his NFL career. And I guess it's a team game, and that's the most important thing. But guess what? It's also a business. It's also your career. Victor Cruz is trying to set himself and his kids up for life monetarily. And who knows if he's ever going to have an opportunity for his contract to come up again in a free agency. He's got to make the money he can right now and get as much as he can. And I get that. I do the same thing if I were him. I totally understand. It makes sense. So I can't hold this against Victor Cruz. Are you supposed to take less to help the team? I get that theory, and it's nice in theory. But if you're sitting there and you have a chance to make life-changing, and really, let's call it this, it's legacy money. This isn't just Victor Cruz money. This is Victor Cruz kid and grandkid money. You got to get what you can get. Because this is a cutthroat business. If you don't get it now and you get hurt, you're not getting it. People aren't saying, oh, well, that sucks for you. We're going to give you money anyway. That doesn't work that way. So Victor's got to figure out a way to get paid, and I understand that. 201-939-4513. Jeff is in Rhode Island. Jeff, what's up, pal?
Hey, good morning, John. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How about yourself?
Good. Well, I'm doing really good because I just wanted to tell you my oldest son got married Saturday, and his name is Aaron Tucker Smith.
Nice.
He was named after a couple of pretty damn good players for the Giants some years ago, Aaron Thomas and Bob Tucker. I don't think you were around watching Giants football at that time, but
I was not. Very correct. Congratulations,
anyways,
though, Jeff. That's great news.
We had a great weekend.
Yes.
And, I couldn't agree with your assessment more about the receiver situation. I think it's probably the deepest talent-wise that the Giants have had in many years, you know, providing that everyone stays healthy. I think they're all going to. I think we're going to have a really, really good offensive year as far as the receiving goes, if everyone stays healthy. So that's my opinion.
Nah, Jeff, look, I think you're right. And I think the fact that all three guys can not only catch the ball on the sideline, over the middle, be possession guys, but all three guys can also make the big play. I think it's a dynamic we haven't seen from a Giants group of wide receivers, frankly, ever. I don't think we've ever seen that, where you have three guys that can do everything. Make the big play, you know, catch the ball short. Two of the guys have size. They can play outside. You have the perfect slot guy in Cruz. I just think this team is set up perfectly to have a big year passing-wise. And let's not forget Brandon Myers. This guy is a machine over the middle.
I wanted to get to that as well. I mean, if he caught 79 balls last year in Oakland, I mean, obviously he has something to offer. So I'm really anxious to see how he's going to work out as well.
And then throw in Lewis Murphy. If this guy can figure out how to catch the ball, he has speed to be a big guy, too, in this offense.
Yeah, well, you're right. I couldn't agree with you more, Johnny.
I'm with you.
You have a good day now. Talk to you soon.
You too, Jeff, and congratulations on the weekend. Have a good one. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Dennis in New York. Dennis, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing, Dennis?
I'm doing fine. And you?
I'm doing great. What's on your mind?
Well, I guess I want to stay in the thread of, you know, the receivers. I guess
sure.
It's a good topic. And the one thing that happened last year and last season that's part of the receiving is the thrower. And Eli wasn't doing so well last year. I've always argued that it was a combination of not a great line protecting him well, even though the stats are there. I understand that the stats are there and that, I think it was 25 sacks for the entire year.
It wasn't a lot. You're right.
But he acted, whether or not the pressure was there, but he acted hurried a lot of the time, especially in the last third of the season. And he was making really poor mistakes, just terrible throws sometimes.
Here's my theory, Dennis, on why Eli, and I agree, Eli did have a down year last year, and here's my theory as to why. The way Eli Manning has been trained in this offense by Kevin Gilbride is that it's designed to be a big play offense. You want to make big plays down the field, right? Well, last year, here was the problem. Reuben Randall wasn't ready to be an NFL wide receiver, quite frankly, for the first half of the season, maybe even the first three quarters of the season. Hakeem Nicks was playing on one leg, wasn't explosive. So he was in a situation where he has one receiver, Victor Cruz, getting double and triple teamed every week, and he had no one else that could threaten teams down the field. Now, what Eli could have done is say, all right, look, we're going to take what the defense gives us. I'm going to dump it off to the tight end more. I'm going to dump it off to the running back more. But that's going to change the nature of this offense. And frankly, it's going to be hard to win that way, especially when you're not running the ball consistently. So instead, Eli said, look, I'm still going to try to get the ball down the field. I'm going to try to make some plays. And I think that led to some of those bad decisions and forced passes that you're talking about. Last year, he had a completion percentage under 60%. In this day and age in the NFL, that's downright poor. And you're right. Eli is going to have a better year this year. But I think a healthy group of wide receivers that can make big plays will help him do it.
Well, I mean, I guess as Giant fans anyways, that's what we're hoping for. You know, I have to agree with you that these three wide receivers that are coming into this season if Eli throws well and if they remain healthy for the good part of the season, it looks great. I mean, it looks great. And the running backs, it's kind of exciting to see. The only thing that you brought up a little earlier that's still in question, in my mind anyway, is whether, again, in pass protection, whether the running backs are going to be able to pick up those blockers, I mean, those pass rushers. And last year, I know I'm like a glutton, but I happen to watch the Raven game often because everything that went wrong I get to watch a lot. You know, I get to see, you know, how bad various players were in this. And one thing was how badly Wilson pass protected. He was getting bowled over, and actually so was Bradshaw. Bradshaw was terrible in that game, but, you know, everyone claims, and I guess statistically, Bradshaw was supposed to be the number one blocking back, you know, pass protection blocking back in the league. he didn't look like it in that particular game. And I think it was partly because he was injured, but I also think maybe he was. It wears on you. I mean, you described what it takes, that courage that you have to be able to face up a 275 or 300-pound guy, you know, try and knock him back.
Yeah.
Wilson just got it looked like a rushing river just lifted him up and swept him away. It was hilarious, you know, and I'm like, oh, my God, this guy is not going to be able to do that job. I don't know. That's what's coming up, is whether or not our running backs can actually do this.
And we aren't going to know until you get into a game, because you can simulate that in training camp all you want, but until the guy's trying to actually kill your quarterback, you're not going to know if you have the wherewithal, strength, and courage to do it. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do.
I appreciate the call,
well,
Dennis.
Spoke my piece.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Have a good one. And one other thing about Eli, and Dennis was writing it down year last year. I wanted to give you a little comparison. 2011, Eli Manning in the fourth quarter, okay? By far his best quarter of any quarter he played that year. Average 9.4 yards per attempt. That's almost a full yard over his second highest quarter total. 1,700 yards passing. That's 500 and change worth of yardage higher than any other quarter. 15 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, by far the best ratio. And to wrap it up with a nice little bow, an 110 quarterback rating in the fourth quarter for Eli Manning in 2011. Okay? Giants win the Super Bowl, by the way. Now we're going to jump to 2012. Fourth quarter. Remember the yards I said Eli Manning had? 1,700 in the fourth quarters in 2011? 2012. 761. 1,000 fewer fourth-quarter yards for Eli Manning. He had 16 touchdowns, 5 picks, 8 touchdowns, 3 picks, 9.4 average yards per attempt to 7.18 yards per attempt, 90 quarterback rating versus 110 quarterback rating, 53% completion percentage compared with 66% completion percentage. You want to know the Giants lost close games last year that they won the year before? That's why. Now, what's the reason for that? It's a good question. I'm not sure. It's not like he's choking. It's not like Eli Manning all of a sudden had the pressure get to him and he can't perform in the fourth quarter. But that's something he's going to have to figure out and the team's going to have to figure out. It's not just him. It's the wide receivers. It's the offensive line. It's the running game. It's the whole deal. You know, part of that might be that they were down so much in a lot of fourth quarters, so maybe he didn't do quite as much. But overall, your fourth quarter numbers have got to be better than that. And like I said, in 2011, the fourth quarter was by far his best quarter. Last year, fourth quarter, based on quarterback rating, that was actually his second best, barely. Better than the second quarter, but certainly not to the level it was the year before. His average yards per attempt, lower than any other quarter. Completion percentage, lower than any other quarter. Yards, lower than any other quarter. Touchdowns, about the same. So, there you go. One thing that could get better. So, the Giants wide receivers are all in town. I think it's their best group that they've ever had in terms of franchise history, but the proof will be in the pudding. We'll see when they start playing some games, folks. Thanks for joining us on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. We'll continue to be with you every weekday morning through training camp. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow morning right here on Giants.com. Have a good one.